thought I will share a little bit of a little different thoughts. We're exhorted to feed the lambs and the sheep, and rightly so. But what I found sometimes is that we're not feeding ourselves first. It is interesting, some of you may have flown here, perhaps by an airplane. Have you ever noticed on an airplane before it takes off, they say the same old, with the stewardess up there, or now they have a videotape showing you how to handle an emergency. Says if something goes wrong, an air mask going to drop down. You know that drill. But they say, you put it on first. Don't try to help the little one because you're no good if you pass out. Remember that? Notice that? And I thought for us, you know, we do have to care. We think of others. I believe we do often, but we often forget to think for ourselves, to keep ourselves in the love of God. I really don't know how to express it. I was thinking of Bob's comment earlier of how even our simple thing is to speak to ourselves in hymns and songs. Let's turn to that verse. I just have that verse before me after that, Ephesians chapter 5. Let's just read that. Now, there's a lot of thoughts together. It's not just that one verse. But that verse is what's before me, so I will use that. But rightly so, you should really read the verses before and after and connect that to your Christian walk. Verse 18, Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not my thought here to expound on all these terms here, but I was thinking years ago. I know in my own lives, we seem to sing a lot more than what I have noticed in recent years. We found, I don't know what it is, we don't seem to sing. And even perhaps, even in the quietness of our own soul, I don't know what it is, maybe it's just me and the circle I'm around, that we don't seem to sing as much as we ought to. Why is that? Do you know singing is also a testimony to the world? You sing. When do we sing? When we are sad? No. You can't sing, tells us that in Psalms there, when you're sad, can you? We sing when we're happy. We sing when we rejoice. I want to encourage you. We often say, well, what do we sing? We have before us Little Flock Hymn Book. Sometimes I feel sad when I see people say, well, let's use different hymn books. There are different hymn books that have nice melodies and songs. But we have one here. In fact, I challenge young people. I'm sure some of the older ones have read through the so-called preface. You know, when we read a book, we often read to see what the book is about. How many read the preface here of how and why they chose these hymns? Now, if you turn to it, I'm just going to read a little bit about the second paragraph. Perhaps that would help us understand songs. You know, we look at young people sometimes and say, don't sing those songs. The bad songs, because when you sing those things, they get into your head. And a lot of the lyric in some of the so-called Christian music scares me. Now, let's just look at that second paragraph. Is that the author tells us this. Three things are needed for a hymn book. But what is it? Three things. A basis of truth and sound doctrine. Wow. So it's not just words that sounds nice. It's not just melodies. It should have a basis of truth and sound doctrine. Something at least of the spirit of poetry, though not poetry itself. Interesting, huh? Which is objectionable as merely the spirit and imagination of man. And thirdly, the most difficult to find of all, that experimental acquaintance with truth in the affections which enables a person to make his hymn the vehicle in sustained thought and language of practical grace and truth, which sets the soul in communion with Christ and rise even to the Father. And yet this is such sort that it's not mere individual experience and so on. Interesting, isn't it? These are the songs, these are the spiritual hymns. We made reference earlier, you may have heard some the remark, if you were to look under Mr. Darby's hymns, his thoughts is above this realm. He always think of that bright and blessed scene. Just look through his hymn. It seems long. In fact, if you were to sing, at least I get to the appreciation that his hymns often get 10, 14 verses in there. And because of the descriptions of that heavenly scene where Christ is, by the time I get to verse 14, sometimes I feel like, oh, isn't there more? It's interesting, isn't it? So you may say, well, you dwell on Mr. Darby. Well, there are others, there are many others, hymn writers in this book. And you can read, there's different books describing or talking about the hymn writers. I think they're very instructive. Now, there's one, and we only have a few minutes, there's one that I often use. Now, remember, we are not here to build on a man's knowledge. It's whose faith we follow. Because sometimes we follow a hymn writer and then find out later on in life there could be failures. But we look at what was written at that time. So, hymn 66 in the back. We're not going to sing it. I'll just read some of that. Here's one of my favorite when it comes to gospel. We sing this, I'm sure when you look through this, you'll recognize this hymn. Come, now, I think in the other hymn book, it says, oh, blessed gospel sound. This one says, come, hear the gospel sound, yet there is room. We know this hymn, don't we? This is the hymn writer G.W. Fraser. The story we know, when he was a young lad, he heard there's a revival meeting. He went across the other side of the tracks. When he got there, he found out the room was full. He couldn't get in to hear the gospel. And as a young lad, he found a way. He climbed up the rain gutter to look in, and he heard the gospel message and was saved afterwards. And there he was able to pen him as such, oh, hear the gospel, come hear the gospel sound, yet there is room. How wonderful. And he can pen words like, though guilty, now draw near, though vile, you need not fear, with joy you now may hear, yet there is room. Wonderful gospel hymns that we can sing, and perhaps as you're singing it, others may be listening on. Haven't you ever catch yourself that? You're singing in the hallway and then somebody happened to be standing there smiling at you. It's a way to present the gospel of his grace, isn't it? But with the thought of this hymn writer, we sang another hymn of his. Someone gave it out, hymn number 46. He knew the fact that we are saved doesn't exempt us from difficulties of this world. I like Brother Don's comment when he asked that question, is I'm still alive. That means We still have that old man within us that we're wrestling against. So he penned another hymn in hymn number 46. There he says, "Have I an object, Lord, below, which would divide my heart with thee?" Valid question, isn't it? Have we? Is there something that would detract our thoughts, our hearts, away from our blessed Lord? Have I a hope, however dear? And so on. You know the hymn well. You may say, well, he knows the gospel. He knows the difficult path that we have left, even though it's short while we're in the scene. But he knows a lot more than we think. Let's turn to 188. He penned that. You know, I think this is so precious. Tomorrow, if the Lord still leave us here till tomorrow morning, we have the privilege to remember our blessed Lord Jesus in his death for us. And we often sing a few of his hymns as a reminder. Do you remember singing this hymn? "'Twas on that night of deepest woe, when darkness round did thicken, when through deep waters thou didst go, and for our sins was stricken, thou, Lord, didst seek that we should be with grateful hearts remembering thee." Do you think he understands the importance of remembering our blessed Savior? In fact, he didn't write just that hymn. 245. We sing that often too, don't we? What a precious hymn, "On that same night, Lord Jesus, when all around thee joined to cast his darkest shadow across thy holy mind, we hear thy voice, blessed Savior. This do, remember me." With joyful hearts responding, we do remember thee. He understands that, doesn't he? So we often read on Lord's Day morning, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death." We're here to show the Lord's death, aren't we? Till he come. So you look at his last stanza. That sometimes, I don't know about you, I get tired sometimes. And my mind wander after the second or the third stanza. Then come the fifth stanza. Now read the words carefully. He knows and he realized and remember the Lord's coming. So he put in, "Till thou shalt come in glory." Do we value that thought even when we're there remembering our blessed Lord? "Till thou shalt come in glory and call us hence away to rest in the brightness of that unclouded day." Now the next stanza, I find it difficult because I find it hard sometimes and ask myself, could I sing that? "We show thy death, Lord Jesus, and here would seek to be." Can we honestly say that? Or were we just here? As they say, we were at a meeting. Or we were there to remember the Lord, and here would seek to be more to thy death conformeth whiles we remember thee. Well, and he doesn't just stop there. The hymn before that reminds us of the Lord's coming. The hymn 244, same hymn writer. He said, "That bright and blessed morn is near." We talk about earlier, as another brother took us to the highest sphere, as if it were, while we're still here. Do we remember and recognize that there is that bright and blessed morn is near, when he, our blessed Lord, the bridegroom, shall appear and call us hence away? Her blessings then shall be complete. That's our blessing, isn't it? When the Lord take us as his bride, when with her Lord she takes her seat in everlasting date. And of course, there's more to the hymns that I'm looking at time and as brevity to sing that. And then there's just one more. He wrote many of them. I just forget the number of the other one. I think it's In Deep Eternal Counsel, Before the World Was Made. Hymn 141. Oh, how precious to think that. Then he takes us back as if it were. Do we recognize God's hand in all things? Hymn 141 there. He could pen In Deep Eternal Counsel. Before the world was made, before its deep foundation on nothingness was laid, God purposed us, you and I, for blessing. And we spoke on that election, didn't we? And chose us in his Son. To him to be conformeth when here our course was run. And then he can end and say that for he who left his glory to die upon the tree, and we call to the remembrance of that, when soon complete the story and come again, and we conform to his image as known be brought to know, and with increasing fervor our ceaseless praise shall flow. In deep eternal calm.